Blog Talk Radio.
Five Lincoln 103, five Lincoln 102, Lincoln 103 and 102.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9, respond to gate 437 Bravo for your dignitary detail. 3K911, unattended 400 lower level near Carousel 4, black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin Avenue Bravo.
484 suspect, is female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue G, no further.
Control, high Frank, 401 is a route.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. I'm your host, Rick McCann, founder and CEO of Private Officer International and Armor College. And today, just like with every show, we have a lot to talk about, a lot of information that we want to go over. Breaking news, of course, happening everywhere across the country. And, of course, we still got that coronavirus that we're dealing with. And some good news on the horizon. And of course, we're also talking about Christmas, just a few days really away, a little bit more than a week. And we're going to be talking today about gross revenue, net profit, gross profit, hidden expenses that many companies don't consider until they hit them in the face. And a lot more. Over the last few months, we've been sharing with you about entrepreneurship and business ownership, and also some of the successes and some of the disappointments in business. And today, a lot of people are confused about money, and whether they are just naturally a poor money manager or not good in maths. I wasn't an A student in mathematics, but when it came to business, I learned quite well about how to count money and how to spend it and how to save it. So we're going to talk a little bit about the differences about gross revenue, gross profit versus net profit, and a whole lot more. We want to thank all of our listeners, many across the U.S. and around the world. And we really appreciate in the last six months, the increase of out-of-country listens. We appreciate each and every one of you. And be sure to go to our website at privateofficer.org and sign up to be a member of our organization if you're not already. You're going to get close to 50 member benefits and a whole lot more. We have several specials happening. Just go to our website, privateofficer.org, right there at the top of the front page, the landing page. You're going to see several specials. You can have a lifetime membership for just $99, or you can have a lifetime membership and a free online course for $125 plus entry into a very special seminar that we're doing early next year for our members, and you're not going to want to miss that. Well, we did this past week hit some pretty high numbers in the coronavirus battle, and many states have instituted a new round of lockdowns and stricter enforcement. And of course, the same old that's been happening since day one. Some law enforcement say, no way, we're not enforcing these laws, these rules, these ordinances, and others are strictly enforcing them. On the horizon, and the good news this week is that there are some communities that are seeing their first initial shipment of the vaccine. The vaccine is making its way, like Santa Claus, around the globe, not just here in the U.S., but in the U.K., and Canada, and Australia, and many other countries. And we have been reading up and following for about 2 weeks now about the results of the vaccines, people already getting them, and some of the alerts that are being put out about safety concerns. Remember, with any vaccine, it doesn't matter whether it's chickenpox or measles or something else, vaccines are prototypes, even though they go through some very rigorous trials, and others like these vaccines, just minimal trials, they still go through some trials before they put it out into the public market. And these vaccines, like the flu vaccine, may not sit well with some people, may have really bad effects on them. And from what we're seeing and reading, there's going to be multiple rounds of the vaccines required. And the second round supposedly is worse than the first one. And some people have become ill and are allergic. And there are, like any drug, it doesn't matter if you're taking prescription drugs, they all have some type of warning, you know. And so these also have some side effects. And there's plenty of warnings coming out in the last 10 days about these vaccines. Do I take them? Don't I take them? Should I take them? Hey, maybe I'll just wait and see what happens to the guinea pigs. Let's see what happens with the first round, the first, you know, 100,000 doses. Let's see how many people get sick. Let's see how many people die. Let's see if it works. And that's kind of where I'm at. I'm kind of like, even though I'm a first responder and we have access immediately, we're at the forefront in our area of who's going to get these vaccines. I'm like, well, maybe I'll just wait and see. On the other hand, we could actually be made to take the vaccines, and that's what we're up against here, is that if you're a frontline worker, EMS, law enforcement, or you work in public health or public safety, or you work within the public school system or around a lot of people, some areas are already saying that you have to take them. And so when you're in service to work with the public, I can understand the importance of this, just like other shots that we have to take regularly, booster shots. We'll see. But it is definitely a good sign of hopefully things to come. We are on the road to better days as far as the coronavirus. And for those of you who just still don't believe that the coronavirus is real, the CDC just came out with a report last month during October 1 through 2019 through October 1, 2019 through April the 4th, 2020, there were about, at the high end, 56 million people that had the flu. And there were about 62,000 deaths flu-related, between 410 to the high end of 740,000 hospitalizations due to the flu. Not bad. I mean, all things considered, even at the high end, 62,000 people allegedly died from the flu from October of 2019 up until the season was over. So far in the U.S., there has been 16,607,536 cases, known cases. That's not even those who are asymptomatic. That's not even including those who have it and just didn't go to a healthcare provider. So 16,607,536 confirmed coronavirus cases, 305,586 deaths in the U.S. 305,586 deaths in the U.S. compared to, at the high end, around 65,000 flu deaths in the last season. Substantially more coronavirus deaths. So even if you don't believe in it, even if you think it's like the flu, well, guess what? Even if it's like the flu, there's been six times more deaths from the coronavirus in a shorter span of time. We're talking about around 6 months or so, 7 months. And it's not over yet. And it won't be over even with vaccines. Vaccines are going to help. Maybe they're going to delay. Maybe they're going to eliminate the potential of some people receiving the virus. But the coronavirus is indeed a serious thing. When we come back from our first break, I want to talk to you about what's happening with the coronavirus and several of our large security employers, including TSA. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to make this a political ball. I'm not trying to get in the mix as to, is it real? Is it not real? One of the things that we 100% never wanted to do with our show when we first began many years ago was to make it a political platform, and we've tried to stay away from that. And so today, this is medical information, scientific information, whether you like it, believe it, we're just giving you the facts and you can deal with it. We're coming right back. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Can we be real for a minute? I'm a high school math teacher and I'm a firefighter.
Hey, we're going to have you out in just a minute, okay?
I'm a designer.
I'm a retired VP in business.
And I'm a student.
Oh,
I'm a mother.
I'm a business analyst, and I'm a volunteer firefighter.
You thought we just fought fire?
Firefighters get trained to do so many things.
Right here. Get sharp.
What we do is serious business.
Three-quarters of the nation's first responders are volunteers. That includes here in Connecticut. And lately, it's been harder than ever, with fewer citizens volunteering.
From teenage cadets like me,
to seasoned veterans like me.
So what are you waiting for?
You ready to make a difference?
Ready to join our team?
Your community needs you. We need you. Visit EverydayHeroDT.org or stop by your local firehouse today and take the first step of joining your fire department.
For some children, America isn't the land of promise. It's a place where every day is a struggle. Because today in America, one in six children lives below the poverty line. For these children, living in poverty means going without medicine, going without food, going without a warm home, or even a roof over your head. And that's life for nearly 13 million children of all races, all across America. Where will you draw the line and get involved? You can help these children and their families find a way out of poverty for good. And you can make a difference in more ways than you think. Will you help? Go to povertyusa.org today. Because one in six children in poverty is one too many.
At Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. If you're looking for protective clothing, body armor, if you're looking for any protective gear, Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. Body Armor USA has been around for quite a while. Our friends over there have all the right protective gear. And let me tell you, they're going to take good care of you. Check them out today online at Body Armor USA. Ask for my buddy over there. Actually, we have a lot of buddies, but these are more than buddies. These are friends. Ask for Ben Rockman, and he will take good care of you. Call him up today. I'm telling you, whatever it is you need, they have it for you. Area code 516-817. Let me just say this before I give you all that phone number. These are more than friends and sponsors of the show. These people, they're professionals. They work in the industry. They know the risks that are out there. They wouldn't sell stuff that they wouldn't wear themselves. So call Ben, 516-817-1666. Area code 516-817-1666. They're going to take care of you. I guarantee it. Coming out of TSA this past week, several eye-opening situations, including confessions from TSA supervisors higher ups about how the coronavirus has been ravaging a number of airports and TSA operations. We know of at least 10 or 11 TSA officers have died of the coronavirus. We know, according to their own statement, close to 3,000 of their workers have been infected by the virus. A supervisor with TSA is now saying that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's really been more than that. They estimated it was upwards of 5,000 plus employees infected. In fact, just this last week, TSA released a statement about the airport in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. According to TSA, their employees at the Philadelphia International Airport have continued to be infected by the coronavirus, doubling from 15 in October to 36 employees in November and 94 this month so far out of 700 workers. So we're talking about close to 15% of all TSA officers at the Philadelphia International Airport has been infected. Now, some say they're still not getting the proper PPE, that they're reusing PPE for multiple days. And one of the TSA officers said that he has seen his coworkers repeatedly ask to go home because they weren't feeling, only to be denied and later being diagnosed with COVID. TSA has stated that their officers are working fewer shifts, that they are providing all the necessary PPE, that they are monitoring. They have safety personnel that are checking to make sure that all TSA employees are not ill and that they are good to go. We're on top of this because we know, and we've known for quite some time, that this is a problem. TSA reported that this past week in Miami International Airport, that 196 of their officers have had COVID. Chicago O'Hare, 176 of their officers. LA International, 161. JFK, 157. Newark Liberty, 135. Dallas-Fort Worth, 131. Atlanta Hartsfield, 127. Orlando International, 116. Fort Lauderdale, 113. Las Vegas McCarran International, 102. Philadelphia, we're talking about this month, by the way, not total, but this month. Denver, 83. Phoenix Sky Harbor, 76. LaGuardia, 60. Charlotte Douglas, one of the growing airports, 58 this month, 56 in Chicago, Midway, Detroit, 55 in Logan International, 54. This is for the month of December, not total during the COVID pandemic. We know that many large security companies, and I'm going to call them out, Allied Universal, G4S, Securitas, we know from reports of our own POI members and other security personnel reporting that there's been ongoing, almost crisis level security personnel being infected with the virus. Not a whole lot of response from company owners. I told you about 2 months ago, we contacted directly the PR representative for 10 of the largest security companies, and they all gave minimal statements. They wouldn't say exactly how many of their people were infected. Some quoted HIPAA as the reason why they couldn't, which is a bunch of baloney. HIPAA doesn't say anything about statistical data. It says you can't identify the individual or their medical condition. We're going to stay on top of this, even though, like I said, things are looking better on the horizon with the vaccines. And, you know, hopefully this is going to help. It's not a cure-all, but hopefully it's going to help. And we're going to see a big difference in our country in the upcoming weeks and months. But just keep praying for it, because if not, things are only going to get worse. We've had a lot of breaking news this week, and some of it has been good. Some of it, like the virus vaccines, some of it has not been too good. Some of it has been nothing but political bull, to be honest with you. But this story coming out of West Palm Beach, a security officer was charged with a shooting that occurred at a flea market. The security officer on duty, Nazav Anthony Reed, 46, is charged with attempted murder. He was on duty when he got a report that someone was breaking into a car. According to police, it was his car. He ran outside. A man began to drive away. Mr. Reed, the security officer, said that he was in front of the vehicle and only fired as the thief began to flee. But witnesses say that's not what happened at all. They say the security officer was on the side of the vehicle as the thief was driving off and that he fired into the vehicle. The security officer told police he believed the driver was armed. I don't know what would lead him to believe that the driver was armed unless he'd seen a gun being waved in the window, but that wasn't part of the report. And witnesses say there was no reason to shoot because the thief was on his way down the road. The shooting left the alleged thief blind. Very serious. It actually, the bullet went through the driver's hand, the thief's hand, and then ricocheted and penetrated his left eye near the right temple, leaving him blind. So police have charged the security officer with attempted murder. We have seen, even during the pandemic of 2020, increase of use of force, deadly use of force by security personnel. And we've seen the continual assaults and deaths of security officers on the job. So, yes, use of force on both sides, from the bad guy and from the security and law enforcement, is definitely on the rise. And we'll be talking more about that in the upcoming year. coming out of East Point, Georgia, which is a suburb of Atlanta, right next to each other. A loss prevention agent from Walmart tried to stop a shoplifter along with another store employee. A confrontation broke out, and the shoplifter shot the LP agent several times. He is still in critical condition at Grady Memorial Hospital in Atlanta. The 24-year-old shooter, he has been caught nearby because of someone who aided police, but he has not yet been identified. We see, of course, around this time of year, an increase in shoplifting. I just read an article, which I don't agree with, from the Washington Post, which says that many during this pandemic time have unfortunately been forced into shoplifting just to stay alive. Well, when you're shoplifting TVs and clothes and jewelry and cell phones, I don't know how you're going to stay alive by eating those. You might actually die if you try to eat that stuff. Of course, they say, well, you know, they are stealing food as well. Many people being pushed to their brink. They never would have, blah, blah, blah. There's always another way. There's a lot of charities out there, a lot of food banks. EBT, which is the food stamp program these days, they are giving more EBT, more food assistance out than ever before, according to the federal government. There are local programs, food banks, and a whole lot more. So if you're really that hungry, there's no need to be shoplifting. There are other ways. However, in this particular case at the Walmart, it had nothing to do with food. It had nothing to do with needing to survive. It had everything to do with just theft, larceny, and this honest criminal activity. Today, we're talking, as part of our subject, about gross revenues, profits versus net profits, and hidden expenses that many businesses don't consider until it's too late. We're coming right back. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Drones are fun to fly, but the fun ends when you fly one near a wildfire. There is a lot of low-level air traffic over a wildfire, and pilots are focused on their mission. Unexpected aircraft, even small drones near a fire, puts lives at risk. No drone flight or picture or video is worth a life. Not only is it a bad and dangerous idea, only authorized aircraft are permitted to fly near wildfires. Drones and wildfires don't mix. Be smart. Be safe. Stay away.
It's a very simple thing. It only takes 2 seconds. We all know we should do it. We all say we do it. But do we? About 35,000 people were killed in motor vehicle accidents last year. More than half were not wearing a seatbelt. A brother, a father, a mother, a best friend. Is it worth it? I lost a sister. Don't let it happen to you and your family. Tell the people you love to buckle up.
In the 2021 year, starting with January 1st, we are going to be needing some committee members, advisory board members, others to continue to help us to have a successful organization and association. And we're looking for you. Some of the positions that we have open include our benevolent committee, where members help members who are injured on the job or the families of loved ones who are killed in the line of duty. You may be asked to reach out to someone in your community who works security or public safety or even law enforcement and talk with them about what happened, what their needs might be, You may be even asked to go visit them in the hospital to let them know that someone cares, and you become part of our outreach team. These positions are available throughout the country. We're not asking for 40 hours a week. We're not even asking for 40 hours a year. And in some areas, they never go out because there's very little injury or death to security personnel. In fact, there's only about maybe, I'd say 15 to 25 states that really most of the injuries and fatalities of private security and even law enforcement occur. If you're interested, we'd love to talk with you further about what is involved. We're looking for Court Watch Committee members. The Court Watch Committee, what they do is they continue to watch cases involving private security, criminal and civil, go through the adjudication process, the court system, and they look for the results. So if a person is accused of assaulting or attacking, killing a security or public safety officer, an LP, we begin to look at that case. We check with that court. We monitor a multitude of media sources with keywords, and we look for what's happening in that case, whether there was a conviction, whether or not there was a lawsuit, and what the judgment was, who it was for, so that we can notify our members and the public and stay on top of these. It's really kind of like being an investigator, and you have to be very resourceful. Again, we're not talking about 40 hours a week, 40 hours a month, or even probably 40 hours a year. We're talking about a couple hours at the most a month. We're also looking for advisory board members. In the new year, we'll be kicking off the new annual advisory board where we meet by teleconference or video conference about once every couple of months to talk about what's happening in the industry, what's happening with our association, how we can make the association better, how we can come up with better or more benefits for our members, and so on and so forth. If you're interested in being part of this exciting organization, you are required to be a POI member to be on the boards or to be an advisory board member. Like I said earlier, go to our website right now at privateofficer.org and sign up today just for $99. $99. And you'll become a lifetime member today. Can't get cheaper than that. A lot of times people don't get involved because they're afraid of having to commit more hours than they might have. We won't ask you to commit more hours than you can spare. So if you'd like to be part of this organization, if you'd like to help out your fellow officers, then contact us, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We're also going to need some committee members for our annual private officer memorial services. This year it was virtual. Contact us, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Well, this is a very unique story coming out of Georgia, and this is a movie. A movie in the making. I can't really say that I've heard anything quite like it. I've heard of similar. I've heard of people in prison who were very, very creative, but I don't think, and I could be wrong, but I don't think I remember anyone as creative as this guy here. Here was a gentleman who was in the Georgia State Correctional System. And while he was there, well, he still is, actually, he and two others managed a brazen multi-million dollar fraud scheme from his prison cell. Arthur Cofield and two others in the Georgia Correctional Facility in Butts County, Georgia, are accused of bank fraud and money laundering. Now, some prisoners just go in and do their time. They don't even want to get involved with other prisoners for fear of getting caught up in some kind of scheme or scandal or even a tussle or fight and getting more time. So they just go in, they do their time, they stay out of trouble, keep their nose clean, and they get out. But not everybody is in there to be rehabilitated or pay a debt to society or are really worried about having to do more time. It seems that in Mr. Cofield's case, the allure of millions of dollars in gold just was too much for him to stop thinking about. So with some contraband prison cell phones, he and two co-conspirators hatched an elaborate fraud scheme that Tommy Cope, the inspector in charge of the Atlanta Division of the U.S. Postal Inspection Service, says was just unbelievable. It was really a movie. The three conspired to use contraband cell phones to make some outbound calls, working closely with his partners outside of the jail. They hatched a scheme to defraud not only a few people out of a few dollars, but out of millions of dollars. He was already serving 14 years for armed robbery. And he was also under indictment in Fulton County, Georgia, which is Atlanta, for attempted murder. So I guess he just figured, you know what? It's not going to be a big risk for me. I'm just going to go through with this and make some money. So what he did was, using a contraband cell phone, he obtained multiple means of identification from several victims. He was able to gain access to a company and an individual's online account that was managed, listen to this, by Charles Schwab. Now, they're an investment, one of the largest worldwide investment firms that takes your money and invests it in companies that they believe will turn a good profit. Along with several others, he called Charles Schwab's customer service and was able to inquire about opening up his own account. And with the assistance of a couple of conspirators, they opened up an investment firm account with stolen driver's license and ID from a California person. And they were able to supply a water bill and a power bill in this victim's name. And via email, the co-conspirator was able to inquire about some precious metals from a dealer in Idaho. They inquired about purchasing some gold coins. Now, this obviously was very brazen, but they were somehow able to purchase 6,106 American Gold Eagle 1 ounce coins. Listen for this now, for the price of $10,998,859.92. On the same day, a female co-conspirator claiming to be the wife of this husband who had opened the Charles Schwab account, then was able to swindle through wire transfers $11 million from the Charles Schwab investment group to pay for the gold coins. Is that not crazy? They swindled $11 million to buy some gold coins in this company, it's just, it's unbelievable, but it doesn't end there. And then they, all online and through using a cell phone inside, they contacted a private security company to go and get those gold coins in Boise, Idaho, and to transport them by a chartered private plane to Atlanta, Georgia. On June the 16th of this year, the private security team landed at the Atlanta Signature Airport, met the co-defendant, who presented false identification to the security team, and took possession of the gold coins. They then got those gold coins transferred to a bank. Can you believe this? How does a bank even believe that people like this would have almost $1 million or millions of dollars of gold coins? But they got it transferred over to a bank. They found a property in West Paces Ferry in the Atlanta, Georgia area that was for sale for $4.4 million. They negotiated with the seller to put $720,000 in cash as a down payment. And then the co-conspirator, acting as the wife of the guy who was the prisoner, went to the closing of the property with a check for $3.7 million and closed out on the house. Is this not crazy? Their scheme played out for several months until the U.S. Postal Service inspectors and the U.S. Secret Service got some type of wind of it, complained, and began investigating. We're talking about somebody inside a state prison facility able to convincingly buy gold coins, convert it into cash, contact a seller online who was selling a multi-million dollar home and property, and actually go through the whole transaction, deliver $720,000 cash, and then the balance of that 4.4 at closing, and got away almost with owning a multi-million dollar house and still had close to $6 million left in the bank to go on another shopping trip if they hadn't been interrupted by federal agents. I'm telling you, folks, I've seen a lot of schemes and scams in prisons and jails across the country. I've heard of it. We've seen movies about it, but this one definitely needs to be turned into a movie. It's just outrageous. It goes to show how dangerous cell phones being snuck into our penal systems are. We've seen correctional officers' hits put on their lives from people inside the county and the state prison systems by getting those phones, and a lot of other bad things happen. But I wanted to share this story with you because it really is remarkable and sickening all at the same time. If you want to read more about this case, this is actually in Butts County. I know it's kind of like a butt joke, but I'm not kidding you. It's really Butts County, and his name is Arthur Cofield. Check out this today. I think you're going to be amazed. It is one crazy, ludicrous ordeal. We're coming right back here at the Private Officer Beat Radio.
If you're not already receiving breaking news and our bi-weekly newsletter, Officer Don reports, and discount training news in your personal or business email, then go to our website right now at privateofficer.org. Privateofficer.org. A Dropbox will come down. Just fill out your info and you'll be the first, one of the first, for sure, to know about what's happening in the security industry. You'll know when a security officer is killed. You'll also get these great discounts on training and equipment and so much more. PrivateOfficer.org. And...
what am I doing lying in this casket? Oh, yeah. That's right. I'm dead. I got shot. I'm not supposed to be dead. I'm only 17. And now I can't see my 18th birthday because I'm a fatal victim of gun violence. My friends, my family, my own mother was devastated. Can't see her son anymore because of gun violence. And everyone's here at the funeral. But before they lay me to rest, there's just one last thing I have to do. How many more of us have to die from gun violence? Let's put a stop to this, because if we don't, the next time it could be your child lying in this casket.
Brought to you by Man Up Inc. USA, a proud member of the Gun Violence Awareness Movement.
On the Private Officer Beat Radio. I'm your host, Rick McCann. Today, we're talking here just in a few moments about profit, about how a business calculates what true profit is. There are actually three different types. When we're talking about profit, there are three different types or major types of profit, and we're going to get into those. What is the difference between gross profit and net profit? What's the difference between gross sales and profit? And how do we determine all of that? And how? Why is it even important? Let's just make money. Talk about that coming up in just a couple of moments. During the month of January, if you are a POI member who owns a business, private security related or otherwise, as long as it's got to be legit, we're going to give you an opportunity to get some free advertising. We will, for the month of January, announce your business, your service, your website, your phone number, and what it is that you sell, or if you're hiring. We'll announce all of that on our weekly radio shows and distribute that info in our social media platforms with hundreds of thousands of viewers daily. And we're going to also send out a weekly introduction to our members about your company, your product, your service, and if you're looking for new employees, we're going to put you in touch with as many people as we can free of charge. That's during the month of January. So get a head start. Send us an email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Privateofficer.com. Another thing that we're considering doing, as a regular segment, is Swap Shop. I don't know if you're old enough to remember the day when everyone listened to the radio. There was no internet. There was no social media. There was black and white TVs only. But we gathered around the radio, and I still remember that big piece of furniture in our home that was the radio, and
phonograph, and we listened to the Swap Shop. And what that was a call-in service where you could, for free, call in. Hi, Martha. I'm Martha. I'm selling a baby stroller, only used once, and it's really in good shape. I only want $40. Martha, how can we get a hold of you? You can give me a call at 555-555-5555. And that was Swap Shop. You could sell or swap, barter or trade almost anything. And so we're thinking about opening that up for our members and non-members. If you have something you want to sell, we'll air it here on the program and put it on our social media. Contact us with your thoughts about this, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Before I go over to our next segment, we do have a couple of openings. Actually, we have quite a few openings. But if you are in Virginia and you are a DCJS lead instructor and you are looking for part-time or full-time instructor position, contact us, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. The same thing for North Carolina, South Carolina. If you are a lead private security instructor, contact us, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. In Virginia and Alabama, we're looking for a medical instructor. You must be a paramedic at the minimum, RN or nurse practitioner would be nice. This is a part-time, full-time position with some limited travel. Contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com and we'll put you in touch with the right people who have those positions available. I also want to mention that during the last few months, like I've said, we have been talking about business ownership opportunities, entrepreneurship. We have a number of companies that have great opportunities for you to own your own local regional office of a business. Right now, we're looking to help folks to get into business, and you can own your own security company. You can own a vocational school. You can own a chaplain service, a medical response business. You can provide service for law enforcement, fire, and EMS. We have multiple opportunities. To learn more, send us an email, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. To see our daily news blog updated with fresh news every day, we have a full-time news department, and we are monitoring thousands of news sources every day and putting out information related to the security and public safety field. Go to our daily news blog at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com or sign up today at privateofficer.org for our breaking news, officer down reports, and training opportunities. Oh, I don't know if I want that stuff filling up my mailbox. Well, we only send out a few news alerts a week. So if that's too much for you, yeah, it probably isn't a good deal. But if you like to know what's happening in the industry, if you want to be aware of training opportunities or other business, if you want to be notified of an officer down, then go to privateofficer.org today, sign up, it won't cost you anything, and believe me, it's very informative, educational, and there's a lot of benefits to receiving those training opportunities and different things that we offer. We're going to take one more quick break. And when we come back, we're talking about revenue, what revenue really is and how it's broken down and how to figure out how much money did I really make today. We'll be right back. I'm the Private Officer.
Are you shopping around for armed or unarmed security training? CPR first aid training, lethal or non-lethal training in and around the greater Metro Charlotte area. Do you want to be SLED certified so that you can maybe start a new career or make some part-time income? Then check out Premier Training Academy, Charlotte, North Carolina's leading academy for all things training. 704-806-4933. Ask for John. Premier Training. We're here to train you so that you don't make mistakes. Premier Training Academy, Metro Charlotte's premier training service. 704-806-4933.
I've already confessed that I am no mathematician, that math was probably my weakest, it was my weakest subject. I was more of a history buff, science, English, the spoken word, anything but math. I did all right when it came to 10 minus 6 or 4 plus 4. And I was pretty good in multiplication. But when we got up to trigonometry and all of that other more intense square equals an algebra, oh my gosh, I wasn't really into it. I got it and eventually was able to pass. But I wouldn't say it was my brightest moments, or I didn't win any awards or stars, but I did make it through. I, through the years, have tried to avoid doing more than I had to. But being a business owner, of course, you got to know money. You got to know what is gross profits. You got to know what gross revenues are. You have to know what net profit is, and you have to know cost of goods, and you got to know all of these other terms. And sometimes you can afford to have people who know those terms. Sometimes you can hire accounts receivables and account payable personnel. You can hire an accountant. You can hire both of those type of people. Other times, especially starting a new business, you can't really afford to even pay yourself, let alone hire anyone to count your beans for you. So you're stuck trying to figure it out. And hopefully you have a good calculator and you do reasonably well in pluses and minuses and multiplications. I've learned that without understanding true revenue and how it is broken up, it can cause you some real headaches. There are multiple types of revenue. There are multiple types of profit. There are multiple terminologies. And if you don't have the wherewithal to understand them, to study them, and to make them part of your everyday language, it becomes a real problem. Today, I just want to go over for just, a couple of minutes, a couple of areas, because we've been talking about business, entrepreneurship, ownership, being your own boss, for several months, and we're going to continue talking about this into the new year. And as many of us understand or know, money, no matter how much you love doing your business, your service, even your ministry, money is what makes the world go around. And you have to understand that without the money, you have no business. You have no home. You have no food. You have to pay your bills. It's just a fact of life. So understanding as much as you can about business and money is a very important subject. Gross revenue versus net revenue. Gross profits versus net profits. Gross sales, net profit, a lot of terminology. So what does it all mean? What is it all for? How is it going to benefit me? How can I use it? Well, let's start with gross revenue. A lot of newcomers to businesses, a lot of startups, they really have their heart in the service or the goods that they provide. They're good at cooking. They're a great chef, but maybe not a great businessman. They are a great leather man. They make the best belts and wallets, but maybe they don't understand that much about profits. And this can cause you to go out of business very quickly. I'll tell you, I've told this story many times, in fact, just in the last month, about this security company in Eastern Tennessee. The owner contacted me a number of times asking me to consult with him about a new prospective contract that he was going to get. And I kind of put him off for a few times. And eventually I said, okay. He told me about the contract. He was going to call for 5 security officers around the clock every shift. It was 7 days a week. It was a pretty large manufacturing deal in East Tennessee. He was a relatively small security company, and he got this opportunity through someone that he knew that knew someone at the business. And all that he saw was the total gross amount of what the contract would yield, somewhere around $850,000 a year. But he didn't realize that was gross revenue, gross sales, not gross profits. We've often talked about the larger the client and the bigger the invoice, the longer the time for them to pay it. Most companies operate now on a 45, 60-day net basis, which means before even you send them the invoice, it's going to be 45 or 60 days that you've had to come out of pocket with payroll. And the biggest part of any private contract security company is payroll. About 70%+ goes to payroll. That doesn't even consider general liabilities, workers' comp, insurance, taxes, so on and so forth. He wouldn't listen. I told him, based on his financial status, his ability to obtain a credit line was minimal. No rich uncle, no way to bankroll this operation until they got on track. But he kept on saying, they're going to pay me. They'll pay me regularly. They said they'll pay me monthly, weekly, whatever I need. Oh, they're going to be a good client, blah, blah, blah. And he just saw the big number, $850,000. I'm going to be rich. He never considered the payroll, the taxes, the insurance, the uniforms, workers' comp, all the other stuff that goes along with a business. And he went and did it anyways. After asking for my advice, he went against it, which was fine. It was up to him, his business, his risk, his liability. In the end, he didn't last but a few months because he got on a billing cycle where they were paying 60 days and he couldn't come up with payroll. Anybody in business for any length of time understands that if you can't pay your people, you're not going to have people. And if you don't have people, you're not going to have business. And if you don't have business, you're not going to have any personal income. It's just that simple. Gross revenue is not profit. Gross revenue, which is also known as gross sales, just means the total amount that you have either sold or billed, invoiced. So let's say that you are a grocery store, a neighborhood grocery store. You sold $3,000 of groceries on Saturday. Well, that sounds great. I'm going to pay a couple of employees, and I'm going to have all this extra money. No, you're not. Gross revenue, gross sales. You sold $3,000. What was the cost of goods, which is also called COGS, cost of goods sold? So what was the product? How much did you pay for it? Wholesale, you might have paid $1,200. So you made $3,000. You spent $1,200 on the product originally, so now you got $1,800 left. That sounds pretty good. But there's a lot of other expenses. So at that point, you have what's called gross profit. Gross sales minus what you paid or what it cost you to make the product. And now you have gross profit. Now we have to really figure out, what did I truly make today? And in order to do that, you have to figure in everything. You have to deduct sales tax, insurance, rent, lights, phones, taxes, everything involved in running the business. And payroll, of course, is going to be still one of the bigger expenditures of any business. You figure out all of the overhead and you come out with what net profit truly is. Sometimes you have what's called negative net profit. There's no money. You actually overspent by the time you figure out cost of service or cost of good, your overhead, your payroll, you're out of pocket. Net profit comes down to the business revenue after subtracting all the operating costs, the interest, the taxes, other expenses, the cost of making that product. Everything involved has to be figured in. You subtract that from the gross profit and you get true net profit. Many people don't understand it. Gross revenues, that's the big number they see. Well, a lot of people with home budgets have the same problem. A husband and a wife work their butts off every day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and they've never seemed to get ahead. And there's two reasons for that, of course. One, they're not making enough to cover more than just the overhead, and so they're left with minimal. Or the price, the money that they're spending, when we start making money, you know, we like to buy better, newer gadgets, nicer cars, bigger homes, have nice clothes, bigger TV screens, guilty. And the more that we spend, even though we're making more, we're spending more. So we're never getting ahead. We're going around and around and around, but we're never getting ahead. Gross revenue and gross profit, net profit, we can manage the debt. We can manage our expenditures, just like at home. We can bring down true net profit and make more net profit if we understand about running the business from the top to the bottom and how to stay focused on only buying those things that we absolutely need to buy. I'm not really one to be talking about this because as we make money, as business owners, especially if you have more than one business or you want to grow the business you have to spend money to make money. You've heard that, and it's true. You have to buy more equipment, more cars, hire more people, buy more uniforms, and all of that equates to more expenditures which means you start eating up the net profit, and now that net profit that you thought you were going to have is actually turning out to be the gross profit, the profit made after you sold the goods or the service. There are actually three major types of profit to remember. There's something called gross profit, operating profit, and net profit. And all of those can be found on an income statement for the business. Each profit type actually gives analysts more information about a company's performance, especially when it's compared to other competitors and time periods, as well as the health of the business. You see, if you ever listen or watch Shark Tank or any investment reality show on TV, most of the time what they're saying is true. In fact, you can learn quite a bit sometimes from some of these reality shows. So, for instance, with Shark Tank, you'll hear companies say, we did $4.3 million last year in revenue. They're not talking about $4.3 million in profit. And they don't say profit, they say revenue. That sounds good. That's healthy. Then a shark will chime in, speak up. Well, how much profit did you make on that? Oh, we're in the red. You're in the red. How could you make $4.3 million in revenue in sales of goods or service and be in the red? Well, it's easy. They overspent. A lot of times it's in salaries, it's in living large, it's in buying more than you have to buy. Other times it's in true operational costs. It's in R&D, research and development. It's in buying products. If you're buying a product at $10 wholesale, and you're only selling it at $12 retail, you're not making profit. The rule of thumb in service is that you want to sell it at 2 times what it's going to cost you to deliver it. So I'll tell you, in training, let's say that we have a proposal that's been accepted to do church security, and we're going to be going to Alaska. I have to figure out how much the cost is going to be to travel from North Carolina or wherever we're at to Alaska. How much is the plane fare? How much is the hotel? How much will it cost for food? How much will it cost for other incidentals, miscellaneous on the trip? And then I have to figure out how much do we need to charge for payroll, whether it be for an instructor, 2 instructors, myself, and 3 instructors. We have to figure out what our cost is going to be, because the people got to get paid. Sure, the trip is nice. They'd love to go, but they still want to get paid. They got bills to pay back at the house. So we have to figure out the cost of doing business. So sometimes, there's very thin times, very little profit in some companies. It just depends on how they operate. Generally speaking, depending on the industry, you should have 30 to 60% profit. If you're at 10%, 12%, 15% profit margin, net profit, bottom line profit, it's not going to work. Eventually, you're not going to grow fast enough to be able to be sustainable. And unfortunately, as we've seen during the pandemic and back in 2007, during the recession, companies who don't have a lot of revenue put away, who are close to the bone, as they say, in operating costs, they make $10 million, they spend $9,999,000, they can't be sustainable during downturns in the economy or in situations like the pandemic. They just can't pay all their bills. We're hearing about Mall of America going bankrupt. They haven't paid their mortgage in months and months and months. Other large companies going out of business because they don't have the money in the bank to sustain these months without revenue. And they've made millions and billions of dollars, and they passed it through the system in salaries and other expenses, and they didn't save. You heard growing up when you were a child, save for a rainy day. Well, rainy days come a lot more often than you think. business owners seldom look at potential emergencies, a water pipe bust, and it's going to cost you $5,000. Well, I don't have $5,000. I spend all my money in payroll and other expenditures and overheads. Something else happens and you got to pay out of pocket. There's always going to be something, just like at the house, just like in your family. When you think you paid all your bills and you got a little money left over to have a night out or take a little weekend vacation, guess what? A tire goes flat. The engine light comes on. The kid breaks his glasses and you got to go replace them. Something always happens. You got to be ready for those rainy days. Profit and net profit are two separate things. Remember, gross profits is what is after you figure in the cost of goods or service. Net profit is the very bottom line after you figure out all your expenses, all of your payroll, all of your taxes, all of your insurance, all of the other things that goes with operational cost, and that tells you where you're at. Like I said, it also tells people, it tells investors, the health of your company. I can tell you from personal experience, many businesses often are just working, you know, like it's a job. They're getting a paycheck, but they're not profiting. They're living week to week, month to month, just like they would if they were employed by another company instead of being self-employed. And that's okay until a crisis hits. It's not going to be the big deal that most people that get into a business want. In order to be a big timer, in order to really be a force to be reckoned with in the business world, you have to learn to make money and keep it and invest it and put it in the bank, make interest, buy real estate, and it's going to be a good investment. But if you're just living check to check like every other employee, it's not a good deal. So remember, gross revenue is what you're making on the sales. Net revenue is the next line after you figure out the cost of goods or services. And then net revenue, the true profit, net profit, I should say, is that very bottom line after all expenses are figured in. And that tells you how much you really made for the day, the week, the month, the year, or the last 5 or 10 years. Business ownership is the best. Business ownership, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how hard you have to work, how many hours you have to put in. If you're willing to do it, it is so much better than working for somebody else. I'll never work for somebody else again a day in my life. You can bet on it. Take it to the bank, as I say. You need to look at the big picture before you go into business. If you're not the type of person that can manage money, that can understand money, that can grow money, and you don't have the ability to hire someone else to help you in this area, then probably business ownership at this time might not be right for you. I want to thank each and every one of you for this year. You know, we've experienced so many different crazy things, the coronavirus, politics, crime and riots, increases of violence, hate. Let's pray that 2021 is better, and I'll be here. I hope that you'll be here with us. Until the next time, be blessed, be safe, and we'll see you back here on the radio.